Thank you, Deanna. That was great. Okay. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 6. And I want to say, if you're at home, we are super happy that you have decided to join in. And I know there's a large group of you out, and you are missed. I just want you to know you're missed here. You know, just like when the youth went off to camp, and there was just this big chunk of kids and college students that were gone. I know y'all missed them. We miss a good chunk of our people that aren't here. But we do understand, and we encourage you guys to be mindful as well. All right, somebody's listening. You listen to me? Miss Rosalind, she can't get enough of me right here. She's actually listening to me online. And she's going to listen to me in person. Surround sound. Surround sound, that's what it is. All right, praise God. This is awesome. All right. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 49. The title of the message is, Why Do You Call Me Lord? Why do you call me Lord? Let's read starting in verse 43. Jesus says, For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And God, we thank you that you were straight up with us. You shared with us your truth. You didn't sugarcoat it. God, you gave us clear words that will resonate within our minds and in our hearts throughout all of our days. And these are some of those words. I know that your word says that your word will not return into you void, but it will accomplish all the things that you send it out to do. So we pray today that it accomplishes great things in this church, positive things, not judgment, Lord, but Lord, turning our hearts towards you, that not it will not encounter one, not one single hard heart or stiff neck in this building today. But all of us, God, will be willing to hear and receive and follow your instructions. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last two sermons were in Luke chapter 6. We've been going through the book of Luke, studying the life of Jesus by Luke's account. Two Sundays ago, the title of the message was The Impossible Image of God. And we looked at how we're supposed to reflect that. And one of the things we saw is he's saying, love your enemies, pray for those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. And he had a lot of other things to say. Just a very difficult passage on how we're supposed to live. It don't matter how the rest of the world lives. It doesn't matter what we think is best for us. Jesus gives us a clear way on how we're supposed to live. Then last week, the title of the message was Seeing Clearly and Living Rightly. And Jesus encourages us there not to judge, not to condemn, but to forgive and to be generous. Be careful who we follow and to be constantly evaluating ourselves. And this morning we have essentially two passages here. Jesus is preaching. This is likely the Sermon on the Mount. But it's very possible in 3 years Jesus repeated the same thing over and over in different places and maybe in different ways. But a lot of these things that we've been looking at find a parallel with Matthew 5, 6, 7. If you read that, you go, it looks similar, but not identical. That's the cool thing about the Bible is you have two different people writing about the same thing from different perspectives, emphasizing different things. I believe it lends us to totally trust the reliability of the Scriptures. The first thing is about the fruit that comes from good or bad trees. That's the first little passage we see that you read. And we obviously know Jesus is not talking about trees. He's talking about what? People, right? The second thing is about a person who builds his house on a solid foundation, a person who builds his house on no foundation. And again, we know his point isn't about the house building. It's about life building. And when I read through this text, there was one question that stood out to me all week. Matter of fact, after last week's sermon, it started just hitting me. And it is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? This is a strong statement. Strong question. Very hard to ignore. Why do we call Him Lord, Lord, and not do what He says? I think we all need to this morning internalize this, meditate on it, think on it, ask the question of ourselves, why do we call Him Lord and not do what He says? There are similar statements that we can make in our life, like a man could say, why do you call me husband yet you spend time with other men? Or why do you call me your best friend when you choose others over me? Why do you call yourself an American while your allegiance is to maybe another country? Why do you say your health is important but you eat poorly and rarely exercise? And we could go on with these hypocritical statements, couldn't we? But this statement stands out so strongly. Why do I call Him Lord and not do what He tells me? And this simple question can cause us and should cause us to look very closely at our life and cause us to ask even more questions. Like, why don't I take what He says seriously? What am I willing to do to make my profession a priority in my life? And we're going to come back to this in a minute. But I just want to just get you thinking about that before we do. Jesus said this. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, but do not do what I tell you? He also makes this point about the good trees and the bad trees. And we ask the question here, what kind of tree are you? What are you producing? It's not that there is no production. We're all producing something, but what kind of fruit are we producing? And we're going to see that Jesus makes the point that the issue goes to the heart. So let's look into these two sections this morning and receive what Jesus has spoken. I find the most difficult things to do are the things in the red letters. Okay? Like, Paul gets to talking, I'm like, I got you, Paul. We're on the same. When Jesus starts talking, it's the simplest things, and they're the most difficult. And so I pray today that we'll all just stop, even right now, even just quickly, you say in your heart, Lord, help me to live this out. Do not let me be someone who calls you Lord but doesn't listen to what you have to say. Pray that they'll resonate. The words will resonate. They'll vibrate. They'll bounce around inside of you. That they won't leave you alone. That you'll go to bed at night. And before you go to bed at night, the words of Jesus where He says, why do you call me Lord but not do what I say, goes off in your mind. When you wake up in the morning, that the first thing you hear from the Lord is, why do you call me Lord but not do what I say? When you got the opportunity to sin And it's right there in front of you, or you're about to lash out against somebody. You just hear the Lord say, "Why do you call me Lord, but don't do what I say?" That's my prayer, that nobody in here escapes the living and active and sharp Word of God this morning. And it'll work that way. The Word of God works just like that. Won't leave you alone. And sometimes you just wish it would. Okay? But you don't. You don't want that. You want the conviction and the wisdom. So, the first thing I want us to see this morning is that trees bear their fruit. Let's look at this text again. No good tree, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse 44, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The context here comes after Jesus has just preached concerning those that we are listening to. If you remember last week, he talked about the blind leading the blind. And they're both falling into a pit. And we learned that it's important who it is we follow. And Jesus went on to say that before we judge other people, before we try to get the speck out of someone else's eye, we need to work to get the log out of our own eye, right? That he just said that, and we have to see clearly. And then Jesus says, after he tells us to do that, he says, For no good tree bears bad fruit, and no bad tree bears good fruit. And it almost seems like, because if you read your Bible, if you look at your Bible, and you got these sections, right? And you got a section here about judging others, and then you got that section, a tree and its fruit, and it just seems like these are two different things, but it's not. It's a continual thought. Like Luke didn't stop and write those titles in there. He was flowing. And so when he says four, there's a connection to the previous section. And he does this, it seems, to help us to evaluate others and ourselves. We can expect the fruit of those who teach by what they say. And we can inspect our own fruit. What is the person we're listening to like? What kind of life do they live? What kind of things are they teaching and saying? And this is important because I think as you look at this, there's only one real direction to go. I think if you consider it from the perspective of that day, where Jesus is sitting there and talking to people, because I was like, okay, there's a lot of questions I have here, and I didn't answer all of them, and I can't give you all the ones that I did answer, so we wouldn't have enough time. But I do think that you walk away from this, if you're looking at it correctly, and there's only one person to follow. I think that's what you see. I think that's what the people in that day would have heard and would have seen. There is one person to follow. It's not so much that we need to be looking and following the teachings of those around us, or even following ourselves. Rather, there is only one person worthy to be followed. There is only one who bears the good fruit. And His name is Jesus. Amen. Only Jesus bears the good fruit. That is not to mean that we cannot bear good fruit. But we will only bear good fruit so much that we follow Him. It's how we will bear fruit. So much as we are attached to Him, we will bear fruit. This is what He tells us in John chapter 15 in verses 4 and 5. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now Jesus is saying this because he's the only one that can produce the fruit. You see it? In his day, the Pharisees were not producing any fruit. They were saying a lot of good words. But the disciples, they didn't need to attach themselves to Pharisees or to teachers. They needed to attach themselves to the Messiah. They needed to attach themselves to Jesus Christ, the one who came from heaven to earth as a babe, the one who grew up and lived a perfect life, The one who was going to go, the Pharisees weren't going to do this. The leaders of their time wasn't going to do this. They were going to sacrifice themselves on a cross and lay down their lives for the sins of the people. Only Jesus did that. And only Jesus rose from the grave. That's the gospel. That's the promise that we have. He bears the fruit. So he says, look at the trees. So I think the lesson here is twofold. One, it is that we must abide in Christ if we want to be people who bear fruit. He is the good tree. He is the one who bears the good fruit. And we are walking closely with Him. That's what abiding means. Following Him, staying with Him, we're able to bear fruit. Now secondly, in a broader application, we need to evaluate our own fruit bearing, right? I think we could take that from the text as well. We need to evaluate what kind of fruit do we bear? What is the root of it? What does it come from? Where does it come from? We can also use this evaluation to evaluate the fruit of other people. Not from a perspective of judging over them, because you remember he says, do not do that. How many times, I know it's happened to me a couple times in my life, where I've said or looked at a person and went, I don't know how you're struggling with that. How in the world? I would never have a problem with that. Then 10 years later, got a problem. Okay? Yeah. I have no problem. Very patient with people. Yeah, it's no problem. I don't have road rage or anything like that yet. Okay? Watch, the Bible says, you who stand, lest you fall. None of us are immune to the attacks of sin. We need to be mindful of that. So we evaluate it, and we do this with humility. We do it with other people with humility, removing our own planks from our own eyes first, and so that we can see clearly the fruit of other people, right? So you see how it's kind of flowing? Each tree, he says, is known by its fruit. He's making it's a very simple statement. Orange trees make oranges. Apple trees make apples. And here Jesus says, figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. And this reminds me of a couple weeks ago, and Jeffrey, if you're listening at home, of a delicious fig that I ate over at Jeffrey Hill's house that he gave me. Then he picked it from a fig tree. He didn't pick it from a bush. A thorn bush that doesn't produce fruit. He also speaks of the delicious grapes that they get from the vine. He says they do not come from bramble bushes. And a bramble bush, you may not know what this is. It's just like some of it does produce berries, but they're thorny. They have thistles and things like that on them. The idea here is that they do not produce grapes. It's a simple idea, but profound. And this is where I think Jesus quite literally gets to the heart of the issue. To the heart of the matter. He says in verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Now consider carefully this statement because it's very important. If you observe someone's production and someone's words, you will be able to tell where his or her heart is. This is not meant to elevate yourself, but rather to evaluate yourself and others. For the purpose of bearing good fruit, this is why we look. We want to look into our hearts. Notice he says, out of the treasure of his heart he produces. Out of the abundance of his heart he speaks. There's a connection between what is in our hearts and what comes out of our mouths and the actions that we produce. Now, all of you in here, if we were to ask, hey, do you have a good heart? Like, would you say, because, you know, we hear this, you hear it in songs, it's popular in culture, it's popular in our day, follow your hearts. But that's the most unwise advice a person can ever give, to follow your heart. The scriptures say our hearts are deceitfully wicked, and who can know them? If you say this morning that you got a good heart, okay, what if I said, before you leave, listen, there's going to be a monitor over your head, And everything that your heart thinks and desires and wants, when you walk into church, it's just going to be running, playing, okay? How many of us in here are willing to wear that over our head? If you got a good heart, you don't care. It don't matter because you're going to walk by, you walk by Spot and it's going to say, man, I love that dude. You know, you're gonna walk by, you know, so and so, and it's like, oh, they're just the greatest person. No, that's not always what it's gonna say, right? It's not always gonna say that. There's a connection here. I love how Jesus is so simple yet so profound. It takes me a long time to understand just a little of what Jesus is saying. I pray that I've understood it correctly, but he says something I think that's amazing. He said it is out of the good treasure of his heart. Or his evil treasure, or out of the abundance. And so we're getting down to what causes us to behave as we do and to speak as we do. It's all about what we treasure the most, right? The thing that we value, that's what treasure is. When we treasure something, we seek it, we store it up, we look for it, we dig for it, we search it, we spend time with it. Men in search of buried treasures have spent all their days looking for them. Some even at the cost of their own lives. I used to watch a show called The Curse of Oak Island. Anybody? Anybody watch The Curse of Oak Island? I mean, it's fascinating, right? They're 9 seasons in and they hadn't found the treasure yet. They're milking it for all it's worth. They have found a few pieces of clothing and books and things like that. All right, they've spent millions of dollars. They have not found the gold place yet. People have been looking for this thing for hundreds of years. People have died in search of that gold. But people are still watching, so they're going to keep filming, okay? The point is this. We search out and live out and speak out what we value. Jesus says in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. In Matthew 13:44, he says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. What we treasure is buried within our hearts. And we like to say we treasure good things. That our hearts seek that which is good. Our hearts are given over to Jesus, and we may find it difficult to search it out, really, to find out what's truly hidden there. But one must only follow his actions and his words. How does he behave? How does she speak? And that will tell you what it is that you treasure. Treasuring these things will cause us, whatever it is that we treasure, causes us to spill a great deal of time and energy and money. When something is treasured in our hearts, it shapes the way we do our lives. We spend time learning all we can of that particular thing. Then we seek it out. And I can tell you that too much of the church does not treasure Jesus as they ought to, because he isn't the thing that we seek the most. For many of us, we value the wrong things. And I say this as much to myself as to anyone in this room. We go to church, we say we are believers, that we follow Jesus, that we're Christians, but our hearts often tell a different story. For the man who treasures his pride and reputation, listen to his words and his actions. I mean, it can be good to be principled and not back down when you're standing on moral, biblical ground, but this person never changes his mind. He won't admit that he's wrong, and he fights back quickly when he's opposed. For the people who treasure their vanity, with their actions they seek to be noticed. They worry about what others think of how they look and what they have. For the man who treasures food and drink, they run to it often to fill a void in their life. They are addicted, and they will live their life with very little discipline regarding this thing. For the people that treasure their money and their possessions. Look, these hit hard, right? I mean, we're thinking about what do we treasure? What's good fruit? What's bad fruit? For the people that treasure their money and their possessions, they want to make money. They want to hold on to that money. And they want to use it for their own wants. They have greed in their hearts. So they not give as they ought to. They're not as generous as they should be because their hearts are greedy. And that's just as simple as it is. Now, it's not the same thing. Like if you don't have, you don't have it to give, right? But it's just simply put, if you don't give as you ought to give, you're just a greedy person. And I think we all have a little bit of that in our heart, don't we? I don't want to minimize it for anybody. But in some way, some of these things are true of us in our heart. But it's not just those things. For the people that treasure their earthly lives, they do all they can to protect them. They build up safeguards. They stay away from danger. On the surface, this may seem wise, but it isn't when that is our treasure. Jesus says, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. One of the reasons that people won't go be missionaries and won't go try to reach people in hard to reach places, even in this country, they don't want to go across those tracks, they don't want to go to those neighborhoods, is because they value their lives more than they ought to. For the person who treasures lustful desires, his mind is often drawn to sexual things. He may even view inappropriate images, or she may, or have inappropriate conversations, or seek out improper friendships and relationships. Their eyes will focus on the things that they shouldn't. And all of these things, they stand in stark contrast to the greatest treasure. They blind us to something that's greater than these things. A much greater tree with much greater fruit. They produce fruit, it's just not the right kind of fruit. It's evil fruit, not good fruit. It's a sad testimony. For us Christians, if that is our life, that although we knew Jesus, we still bore bad fruit. It ought not to be. It may be indicative of something more serious, that we never truly knew Him. The Christian will bear fruit as he is walking with Christ. And secondly, this morning, we ask the question, why do we call Him Lord, Lord, and not do as He says? Now you see that text there from 46 to 49 where He asks that question and He talks about the two men. One who built his house on a good foundation, the one who built his house on not a foundation. I want you to just close your eyes, if you would. Just imagine yourself standing before Jesus. Imagine you went on a walk and you sat down on a park bench and Jesus came up beside you. And He sat down and He looked at you. Or maybe you went to eat and Jesus walked up to your table and He sat down and He says, why do you call me Lord but not do as I say? Sometimes when you read the Scriptures, you got to stop. You got to think about it. Imagine that. What will you say? What can you say? It's not that I don't do anything that He says. It's just that I don't come close to doing all that He says. And there's no good excuse for me. Now, when He says, why do you not do what I say? What is it that He said? What is it that He's told us? Now, you can't open your eyes. I feel like some of you may be abusing this little part and you decide to go to sleep. Oh, He said close my eyes, but He didn't say open them back up. So I'm going to get a little nap in, right? He told us to love our enemies, to forgive, not to judge, not to lust, to seek the kingdom of God first, to be generous, to be kind, to reach others with the gospel, to like literally go out of our way to share Christ with other people, to pray, to love His word, to gather together for worship, for prayer, to be merciful, to sacrifice, to leave behind earthly things instead to follow Him, to love and to store up His word in our hearts, to speak in a manner that honors God, to lift others up, not to tear them down, to turn from evil, to exalt and to praise and to lift up our voices to God. He tells men, lead your families. Love your wives as yourselves. Women, submit to your husband. Children, honor your parents. There are a lot of other things that He said, but they're summed up in the two commandments. Love God above all and love others. And He just asks a simple and straightforward question that it hits very hard. It hits me very hard. Why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? I think He's just driving the point home for His followers. If you say I'm Lord, do as I say. If your confession is that I am Lord, then do as I say. If you do not do as I say, why then do you call me Lord? There are two ways that I think we can take this question. One is to the Christian. It speaks to the follower of Jesus that as we see Him as Lord, we need to do our best to walk according to His words. Our confession of Jesus as Lord should lead us to obedience. So that's one way to take the question. The other is to the person who should not call Jesus Lord. They have no concern for His words. It is clear they do not see Him as their Lord. They are not saved. And if you consider Matthew's account of these words, he puts them in this application. So we look at the parallel of this passage in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says there, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Our outward confession isn't necessarily our inward confession. This is a very serious statement of warning by Jesus because he goes on to say that he will declare to them, "I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." If we think we can just live the way that we want to live, and sometimes we try to do that, and it not matter, we're wrong. It's mistaken. And if these things are causing you to have questions and to have conviction, to pray and to seek God, if these things are causing you to long to be more like Christ, that is a good thing. Don't run from that. Receive it. Settle in on it. Let God be working on you and dealing with you. Don't run from that conviction, but rather place your face in the dirt and pray for God's help to do as He says. Beg God. Tell Him you're sorry for the things that you struggle with. Tell Him that you want to walk in the ways that He wants you to walk. That's the heart of the true believer, right? Now, the man who hears and does what Jesus says is truly a wise man. Jesus says, "I'll show you what He's like." Now, we're almost done. He tells of two builders. He uses a parable. One dug deep, laid his house on a strong, solid foundation. The second built his house on a ground with no foundation. And he uses this parable to show the difference between people who, one, who comes to me and hears my words and does them, and secondly, the one who hears and does not do them. The issue is not that the person hasn't heard the words from Jesus. They have heard them. They sat in the church. They sat in the synagogue. They heard the words, but they don't do them. Maybe they heard them a lot. Maybe they heard them for 40 years. 40 years! Can you imagine standing before God that day? 40, 50 years of hearing His Word and you had no movement. No movement in your sanctification. This hits me. There are things I just think, man, why don't I listen better? They may have even called Him Lord. They may have even sung in the choir. They may have even been on committees in the church or taught Sunday school. They called Him Lord. Hearing and following His words is building your life on a solid foundation. James, the brother of Jesus, tells us in James 1:22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." The author of Psalm 1 says the person who delights in the word of God, that this person is like a tree planted near streams of water. The leaf doesn't fade and they'll bear their fruit in due season. That's what Psalm 1 says. Jesus says this person can withstand the storms in his life. You can bring a flood against him. Hit him hard, but it will not shake this person because he hears and does the words of Christ. Hearing and not following His words is like building your life with no foundation. Like many of the condos on the coast. Like when we went down to Orange Beach this summer, we went by a condo that had a wire holding it up. Because it was like starting to tilt. And I'm thinking, I'm not staying at that place, right? There's so much sand down there. They didn't do something right. They're not the most trustworthy buildings. Life will hit these people hard. Floods will arise and wash them away. They will have no anchor, no sturdy ground. Trials will come and they'll be unable to withstand them. Ultimately, the judgment of God will come to both. One will stand firmly on their confession of Jesus and the word of their testimony that they served Christ in their life and they loved not their lives even unto death. One will stand on another ground and the judgment of God will break that person. Because they serve themselves, they will be caught up in the flood of judgment. Isn't it interesting? I don't think he did this on accident, that he uses the idea of a flood coming against them, where a flood is the symbol of judgment. Noah built an ark, and God shut the door behind him, and when the floods came, Noah and his family were safe because he trusted God. What about us? Are we firmly planted on the foundation of Christ and obedience to Him? Now, a final question as we close. As I read this, I thought, do we have to bear nothing but good fruit? What if we bear some bad fruit sometimes? What if we don't listen to all His words? Right? I mean, did you read that and go, I don't bear good fruit all the time. I don't listen to all the words that He says. So what about me? Am I in a bad spot because I don't always bear good fruit? You might read this and walk away hopeless as you look at areas that you struggle. This is where prayer and the Spirit are so important. Of course, we will not be perfect. Of course, we will struggle to listen and obey all of His words. Of course, we will not always bear good fruit. And we know that some will be more fruitful than other people. We know Christians, even in the New Testament, they were not always perfect. Jesus even wrote letters to seven churches to correct some of these Christians in their behaviors. And He would say, remember, repent and do the things you did at first. So we have to seek God and ask Him to open our eyes to the truth of it. Are we a person that is just posing, saying Lord, but He is not really our Lord? Or are we growing as a Christian, but we're stumbling along the way? But the general course of our life is that we want to obey the words of Jesus, we want to live them out, and we want to bear good fruit for Him. Or are we faking, right? I can't tell you either or. But God can. His Spirit will bear witness within your inner being if you are His. So the invitation this morning is, let's internalize these two passages, right? This is our response to it. Are you bearing good fruit in the name of Christ? Are you calling Him Lord, but not doing what He says? Spend some time in prayer in that this morning. If you're sitting here this morning, you're going, you know, I don't know that I've ever truly followed Jesus Christ as my Lord. I saw Him as someone that gave me some fire insurance. I thought I was a get out of hell free card or whatever. I've been playing too much Monopoly, okay? But you never surrendered your life to Him. See, too many times people present the gospel that Jesus came and He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. And if you'll just sign this card, you'll go to heaven. Or if you'll just ask Jesus into your heart. And they talk nothing of repentance and of faith. And so for a person to be saved, they must have been convicted of their sins. They must have turned from as much as they knew of it to as much as they knew of God. And they must have trusted in Christ. That's the call this morning. If you've never done that, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. And if you're a Christian this morning and not necessarily living the way that you should, it's a good time to pray. I need to do it. I need to stop and pray and ask myself, why? Why do I call You Lord when I don't do what You say? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the patience of these people here. We're thankful for getting to sing in Your house. We're thankful for getting to listen to Your word and be challenged by God. And to know that we don't measure up like we should. God, how Your Word does indeed sanctify us and bring us closer to You. Help us look more like You. I pray, God, that You'll do Your work in this church this morning. That by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You'll bring conviction to our hearts and changes to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.